The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciple, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
As we heard at the beginning of our liturgy today, that today is the solemnity of Christ the King. But it's more than Christ the King, it's actually the universal King of the whole universe. So it wasn't just enough that he's a king here, it is of the entire universe. There was a reason why this feast first came about. It was because in the 1800s, the Vatican and its papal states were under attack. So they needed to fortify themselves. So they created this feast so that they could say to the other nations, "We are a great nation ourselves and we have a great king." You would be hard-pressed to find any liturgical art, contemporary or from the past, that shows Jesus as this universal king without a beautiful crown, holding the globe in his hand and a scepter on the other side. He's dressed in beautiful robes and sitting in a majestic throne. But you just have to go to Scripture, and can you find any place where he's wearing a crown, where he's holding a scepter, where he's got the globe in his hand, and he's dressed in these very rich robes? No, we won't. In fact, we just have to go to this gospel passage alone, and we will in fact see who is our Christ the King. He will say to the crowd, it will be like this at the end of time, when we have lived this life to the very fullest, and we will face our God, and our God will say to us, in mercy and in justice, you may come into the kingdom of God, but you unfortunately cannot enter, because in your lifetime you chose to live a certain way, and you had ample opportunity to be as I was to you. So he would say, to you coming to the kingdom of God, because you fed me, you clothed me, you gave me drink, you welcomed me into your home when I was sick or when I was naked or when I was imprisoned, you visited me and you helped me. But they will say, Lord, when? When did we do this? We didn't see you. And his response, when you did it to the least of my brothers and sisters, then you did it to me. But they never saw Jesus. Curious. But the other group, Lord, we're not welcomed into the kingdom. That's right. Because when I was hungry and thirsty and naked and homeless, sick and imprisoned, you didn't tend to me. So, there you go. But Lord, when did we see you? Curious, is it not? They both ask the same question. Lord, when did we see you? And his response is, I was right in front of you all the time, in the least. But the individuals who did not see him, or in fact rejected him, I wager it is because they saw not a human being before them, but a label. They saw an unwed mother. They saw a drug addict. They saw somebody who stunk and was dirty. They saw somebody of a different color of skin, a different gender to them, a different economic status. Sorry, can't help you. You're not like me. But the individuals who did, in fact, help the other, they didn't see a label. They saw a human being. And because of that, what is filled up within them is compassion for that individual, a divine attribute. Now, you can go to the Webster's Dictionary and you can find the definition of compassionate or being compassion or being compassionate as to be someone who feels for the other, pity, sympathy. But the biblical understanding of compassion is much different. To have compassionate for the other is to suffer with. You feel what the other is feeling. You're not imagining it, or you're not trying to justify not helping them. All you see is the person before you, and you want to assist them and to help them. It's not about saving the world. It's about addressing the humanity of the person before them. And so they do. But why? Why do we not allow ourselves to see the person before us? Because I don't want to suffer. I don't want to be put out. I don't want to be challenged. It's very human. But we just have to look at Jesus. From the very beginning, the incarnation, he puts himself, God, in the situation of coming into this world through an unwed mother. Shortly after, they have to leave their home and go to another town where they are not welcomed. They're homeless. Shortly after he's born, he becomes a refugee. When he returns back into Nazareth, all through his lifetime, he will be hearing these whispers about his mother and about himself. And then when we go to the scriptures, what does Jesus say and do? But he embraces the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the homeless, the rejected, the marginalized, those imprisoned, those who are sick. And he embraces every single one of them. And never once does he see a label, but a human being. Because he was prepared to suffer with. My friends, think of this. Imagine you were a very good player, soccer player. And you signed up to play a sport. However, you choose not to go to any of those practices. They're a waste of your time. And even through the season, you choose not to go to any of the games until we get to the playoffs. And you decide, now I'll show up. And you go to the coach and you say, here I am. Put me in, coach. And the coach will look at us and say, what are you talking about? You weren't here all season. You haven't practiced. These people over here, they've worked very hard becoming the best they can possibly be. They will play. You won't. That's only being fair, right? What Jesus says at the end of this passage is fair, and it is also just. We have a lifetime to show up, to put into practice what it is we say we believe. We will assist the most vulnerable in our society. We will speak up, stand up, and help those before us. We will abolish all forms of labels so that we can play in this game called life. And in the end, when we draw that last breath, there is no fear within us of an unfair judge. Rather, we are welcomed into the kingdom of God, and there we will see the least of our brothers and sisters also. And they will look upon us also as their brothers and sisters. But what we may also have the opportunity to recognize in this life, every single human being is our brother and sister. And there is also the Christ in them, living, loving, and being merciful.